This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Riyad Razazi, welcoming you all to the Sira series entitled Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walking or upon the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I've got people here on Instagram, people on Facebook. Jazakumullah khair for joining. Last week we were talking about the year of before the year of sadness. It was that, you know, we talked about the siege, you know, that boycott in the Sha'b of Bani Talib, in the valley of Abi Talib, where Quraysh boycotted the Sahaba, boycotted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Sahaba for 3 years, where the Sahaba, you know, and Prophet, they suffered. They went through a lot of, it was an ordeal, you know. Quraysh has written a treaty that they should not, you know, do business with the Muslims. They should not do any trade with them, not give them food, not buy food from them. And this whole ordeal lasted for 3 years. So in that 3 years, imagine the Sahaba, they did not know it would last for 3 years, nor did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was pretty tough on them. And when they came out, right after that, what was called the year of sadness. And that's where Abu Talib, who stood with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was an old man, and he got sick. And right after they came out from that siege, from that boycott, he passed away. Abu Talib, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tried and tried many times, because that's his uncle, and his uncle used to support him and used to defend him, although he was not a believer, he was not a Muslim yet, but he used to defend Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much so that Prophet Muhammad used to say that when Abu Talib, after Abu Talib passed away, now even, you know, the lowest of the people of Quraysh, those who were like in, you know, the very lowest of the levels, they started, you know, mocking Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. Whereas when Abu Talib was there, you know, they did not dare. In fact, no one dared to harm Prophet Muhammad, although there were a few instances, but Abu Talib was always there defending Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. But after his death, اشتد الأذى على الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام, meaning that the persecution or the abuse went up a notch after the death of Abu Talib. Prophet Muhammad, he tried, and he felt so disappointed and sad after his uncle passed away, because he was next to him, and also Quraysh, they were also next to Abu Talib when he passed away. You know, so Prophet Muhammad was telling Abu Talib to say La ilaha illallah. That's just say the kalima, say La ilaha illallah, and I shall testify for you on the day of judgment. And then he, you know, and Abu Talib would look at his friends and, you know, and the elite of Quraysh, and they would tell him, would you leave the religion of your ancestors? Would you leave the path of your ancestors? You know, so you know, one, the people of evil were pulling, and the Prophet Muhammad was trying to pull from the other end. And then at the end, before he died, he said, I am upon the path of my forefathers. I am following the path of my forefathers. And he died with, you know, not, you know, entering the fold of al-Islam. The Prophet, you know, he cried. The Prophet, you know, was sad. And he says, by Allah, I shall make istighfar for you. This is what Prophet Muhammad said. I shall seek forgiveness for you. And who, to whom? He said this about his uncle. So a lot of people, sometimes they ask this question. You know, my mother who's not a Muslim, or my father who's not a Muslim, or my wife or whatnot, you know, they're not a Muslim and they died. Should we pray for them after they die as non-believers? Should we pray for them? Should we make dua for them? Prophet Muhammad, he said, I shall make istighfar for you. I shall seek istighfar for you. I shall ask Allah to forgive you. You know, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا ذو قربى ما كان للنبي وللذين ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا ذو قربى. It is not befitted for Prophet Muhammad, for the Nabi, for the Prophet, nor the believers to make istighfar for the mushrikeen, even if they were from ذو قربى, even if they were from your kin, even if they were from your kin, from your families, if they were to die upon a state of disbelief, before they die, yes, make dua for them. Before they die, make dua for them. Ask Allah to guide them. Ask Allah to guide them. It's, yeah, make dua for them. But after they die, shall I keep asking Allah to forgive them? No, Allah Azza wa Jalla clearly says that in the Quran. مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ It is not permitted for the Prophet nor the believers to make istighfar for the non-believers. To make istighfar for al-mushrikeen, for the atheists. وَلَوْ كَانُوا ذُو قُرْبَى Even if they were from their kin, from your family. And the Prophet, subhanAllah, he got really disappointed, you know, he was sad. He tried. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla also revealed about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Innaka la tahdi man ahbabta walakin Allah yahdi man yasha." You cannot guide whomever he wants. It is Allah who guides whomever he wishes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Innaka lan tahdi man ahbabt." You cannot guide whomever you love. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can guide. Yeah, yes, there is another ayah that says, إِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ You can guide to a straight path. What does that mean? You can guide, meaning you can show guidance to people towards the straight path. Oh Muhammad, you can show the guidance. يعني, you can tell people, this path is a misleading path. This path will lead you, you know, to something that is good. And this path will not lead you to that which is good. Right? So you can guide, you can tell people, you can direct them. But it is not guidance, it is not in your hand to guide them from, you know, from dalal, falsification to haqq, to the truth. This is the job of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not the job of the Prophet. Otherwise, Prophet Muhammad could have guided his own uncle. He could have guided these family members. Right? But that's not upon the Prophet Muhammad to guide. Prophet Muhammad, he can show the path, he can direct people, but the guidance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah told him, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ You cannot guide whomever you want, but it is only Allah who can guide. So you tried to guide your uncle, but your uncle chose the other path. So you did your job. Our job, brothers and sisters, is to tell people about the truth. Our job is to tell people about the truth with good manners, with wisdom, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي Say, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي This is my path. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ I call people towards Allah. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي Me and whoever follows me. So if you follow the path of Rasulullah, you should call towards the path of Rasulullah. So this is your job. My job and yours is to call people towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is to show them the truth. Show them the path. This is it. But it is not up to us to guide them. No, guiding them is not, you know, on our hand. It is on the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Yes, you can show them the path. Yes, you can ask Allah to guide them. Or Allah, you know, open up their hearts so that they can see the truth. Or Allah, you can make that dua for them. Right? But it is not up to you to guide them. The guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after they die, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, it is not permitted for the Prophet nor the believers to make istighfar or to seek forgiveness for the mushrikeen, for the atheists, for the non-believers. even if they were from the kin, from your families, from your relatives. All right? So this is after the death of Abu Talib. Before I resume, because today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to talk about another trip, a beautiful trip. This trip is really, is one of the most beautiful, amazing, you know, wonderful trips ever. And I'm sure you would know this trip and what Prophet went through and what he saw. It's an amazing, amazing, you know, story about, you know, this journey of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. But before we do that, how are you, brothers and sisters? Those of you on Instagram and those of you on Facebook, how's everybody doing? Everybody's on lockdown, I believe. I think, you know, all the countries are on lockdown now. Our lockdown started today here in Ontario. Depending on the province you're from, depending on the city you're from or the province you're from, or the region you're from, you know, there are different days for different lockdowns, subhanAllah. Some countries are on total full lockdown, and some countries, you know, they're going by states or provinces. You know, it depends. So it is definitely, subhanAllah, it's a journey. Went back to wave two again, you know. Just like, remember, brothers and sisters, you know, during Ramadan when we used to meet, you know, we had those beautiful, amazing moments together when we had like 3-4, you know, lectures a day. If you remember, 3 seminars every day. We had Quran, we had the dua, we had we had the end of time series, remember, you know, and we were all in lockdown. Everybody was in lockdown. So we had a lot of people, mashallah, joining in. So now we're back in lockdown again, subhanAllah. You know, best time, Nas David. It was the best the best time being online with you people. Not so much, subhanAllah, that we're not able to go places and whatnot and see our loved ones and our families. But yes, we had great time. We had great time. So now again, back into that lockdown. Another wave, inshallah, hopefully it is not a long lockdown. I just hope it'll be quite short so that we can resume back into our, you know, the norms, inshallah ta'ala. But you know, it just that I hope that you people are doing all right, and you know, and keeping the energy up, keeping your, you know, iman high. Don't despair, don't lose hope of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, so after Abu Talib died, brothers and sisters, let me check on those who are on Facebook. So I've got Instagram here. Those on Facebook, how are you guys doing? I'm not hearing you. Are you guys okay? Those on Facebook, I hope you're doing fine. Brothers and sisters on Facebook up there. Alright. So, brothers and sisters, yes, it will be 1 year, absolutely. Imagine 1 year, 1 year. I haven't traveled for 1 year. This is the longest I've ever, you know, stayed home, you know, and not traveled. You know, where I used to travel almost every other month or so. Now, the whole year, and you know, staying home. Well, alhamdulillah, that was great. Allahumma lakal hamd. So, after Abu Talib died, another, they said, some said, you know, 3 days, some said a week, some said shahr, you know, after a month, then Khadija radiallahu anha died as well. Khadija. So those were the two closest people to the Prophet Muhammad from his family, you know, his wife and his uncle that used to support him, that used to defend him. Both died in the same year, right after they came out from that boycott. Khadija. And who is Khadija? Allah. Khadija the loyal. Khadija the brilliant. Khadija the beautiful. Khadija the smart. Khadija the helper. Khadija the comforter. Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha, the shoulder to the Prophet Muhammad. Na'am. The hands that held his hands, the hands that hugged him and touched him and helped him, you know, Khadija with the big heart. Khadija with the big heart, radiallahu anha wa ardaha, staying, you know, who stood strong with Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, brothers and sisters, how she died? Does anybody know how Khadija died? In what state? those of you on, you know, Facebook up there and Instagram, do you know how Khadija died, radiallahu anha wardaha? Does anybody know? Khadija radiallahu anha, in what state, you know, died? Is it in Qiyam? Was she reading Quran? Was she praying when she died? What prayer was she praying when she died? What surah was she reciting when she died? How did she die? Does anybody know? Yes, Yashmin, mashallah. Her chest was on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She did not die reading Quran. She did not die praying. No, she died her head on the chest of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just like Prophet when he died, his head on the chest of Aisha radiallahu anha wa daha. You know, likewise Khadija, she died her head on the chest of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, but before she died, Jibril came down to the Prophet Muhammad. Before she died, Jibril came down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came down and he said to the Prophet alayhi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, Khadija, she's coming, you know, with a tray holding some food. Greet her salam from Allah than from me, and give her the glad tidings from Allah azza wa jal, the glad tidings of a mansion in Jannah, of a palace in Jannah." A palace in Jannah from a gem, from a pearl that has no hardship in it, that has no worry in it, that has no sadness in it. She worried. She sacrificed. She sacrificed. Naam. She went through a lot of hardship to defend Prophet Muhammad. So Allah Azza wa Jal, in return, He gives her this palace in Jannah from a pearl. Imagine Qasr, a huge palace in Jannah from a pearl that has no hardship in it, that has no sadness in it, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. So when Khadija came, Prophet Muhammad told her, "Ya Khadija, Jibril came to me, yuqri'uki salam. He's giving you the salam from Allah, then from him. Allah is sending salam to you, O Khadija." So she says, "How can I reply salam back to Allah? How can I reply salam back to Allah?" So Prophet Muhammad told her to say, "Allahumma anta salam. ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام." Oh Allah, you are the source of peace. You are peace and the source of peace, and peace comes from you, subhanak. You know, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. You are the peace and the source of peace. Minka salam. Salam comes from you. Because one of the names of Allah is as-salam. Peace comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she died bi salam. She died in peace, radiallahu anha wardaha. Before she died, she received that beautiful glad tidings, and then she died in peace, radiallahu anha wardaha. No, my brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad and Khadija, they lived together for 25 years. He married her when he was 25. She was 40. When she died, Prophet Muhammad was 50 years old. When she died, Prophet Muhammad was 50 years old. He never married anyone other than her. Yes, when he was married to her. And after her death, he did not marry anyone for 2 years. For 2 years. They would come to him, "Ya Rasulullah, why don't you get married?" He would be quiet, he would put his head down, and he would start crying. Khadija, where can I find somebody like Khadija? Amanat bi, ith kadhabani an-nas. She believed in me, while people have, you know, disbelieved in me, and called me liar. She believed in me. Wa saddaqatni, and she trusted me, when people did not trust me. وواستني, and she comforted me when people they got me out and kicked me out and abused me. She comforted me when people abused me. Where can I find somebody like Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha? For 2 years he did not get married, you know, until 52 years old. And then who did he marry? Sauda. Sauda, who's Sauda? So that she was 80 years old, 80, not 18, 80 years old, right? But she was a widower, right? A widow. She was a widow, and he married her for pleasure. No, for pleasure, of course not. Of course not. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What pleasure is it? 80 years old woman. Alayhi salatu wasalam. To protect her, to preserve her iman, he married her. Ruqayya, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad, she was married to Uthman ibn Affan. Zainab, she was married to Al-As ibn Wa'il. So who was home? Fatima, she was the little girl. And Ummu Kulthum. Ummu Kulthum and Fatima, the two girls. The other elder girls, they were married. That Ummu Kulthum, Fatima. Fatima was like 14 years old. So Abu Talib died. Khadija, she, you know, passed away as well. Both in the same year. That's what that is called, the year of sadness. The year of sadness. They came out from the siege, from that boycott. And then after 3 years, right after that, you know, Abu Talib died. Khadija died. These are the people that used to protect Prophet Muhammad and support him. Now who does he have, brothers and sisters? You tell me. You tell me, brothers and sisters, those on Facebook and those on Instagram. Now Prophet Muhammad, who does he have? Khadija died. Abu Talib died. Those that used to support him and defend him. Both died at the same time. Who does he have to support him, to defend him, to guard him, to preserve him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah. Allah. Yes, Yashmi. Allah. He has Allah. And whoever has Allah in his side, he has everything. And whoever does not have Allah on his side, he has nothing. He has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has Allah, al-wakil, al-wali, the guardian, who will guard him. Allah, the guardian, al-wali, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed in Surah At-Tur, telling Prophet Muhammad to be patient. He is under the observation of Allah. He is under the observation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does Prophet Muhammad do? Does he stop? No. His mission has to resume. He has to carry on his mission. So he goes to At-Ta'if. So he goes to At-Ta'if. At-Ta'if, brothers and sisters, is about 100 kilometers, you know, from Mecca. It's another rocky path. Today it's all paved and everything, but at the time it's not like a flat land. No, it's in a rocky mountain. To go to At-Ta'if, 100 kilometers. He has to give da'wah. Okay, Quraysh, you don't want to believe. I'm not going to stay in Quraysh, I'm going to go somewhere else. You have a business, you have something that's not working in your area, then move to another area, try something else, try somewhere else, try online, try this, try that. Then just don't stand still. Do not stand still. Don't just keep on doing the same thing that's not working again and again. Try to improve yourself and look for other ways. Look for other, I'm sure there's many other ways, but look for other ways to do your thing. So Prophet Muhammad says, okay, Quraysh, I'm not going to just stay here. Quraysh, you don't want to listen. I'm going to do something else. So let me go to At-Ta'if. I need to find somebody who can support me. Let me go to At-Ta'if. So he goes to At-Ta'if. In the Jibal, you know, in the mountains, 5,000 feet high. Allahu Akbar. Imagine 5,000 feet high. It took him about 4 to 5 days walking. With Zayd, his adopted son, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Zayd ibn Haritha. So they walked together. He did not ride. Brothers and sisters, why he did not ride to At-Ta'if? Why he did not ride? Why he has a qaswa, he has a, you know, his camel, she camel. He could have taken his she camel because he's going 100 kilometers. Why did he have to walk? Huh, brothers, sisters? Those on Facebook and those on Instagram, why Prophet Muhammad had to ride? Huh? Why he walked? Anyone? Why did you have to walk? Why not use your camel? You're going a long distance here. For safety? To avoid leaving tracks? Because if Quraysh was to know that Prophet Muhammad is leaving town, of course they won't let him. Of course they will not let him. Some people already ran away. They ran to, they migrated to Abyssinia. So they're stopping. They're not letting the Muslims leave. They're not embracing Islam, nor leaving the Muslims do their job, nor leaving the Muslims leave the town. So Prophet Muhammad has to be discreet. He had to be discreet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, and then who's go? Is he going out? He's not going with Abu Bakr, with his son, with adopted son. They're going out walking. They're just walking. So he was discreet about it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he went out to At-Ta'if to give da'wah. As he reached At-Ta'if, then he met the elite of At-Ta'if, Shayb ibn Rabi'a, Utba ibn Rabi'a. He went to, call them to Islam, and then they ridiculed him. They ridiculed him. So he said, okay, fine. If you don't want to, believe in me, then at least, don't tell on me. Don't tell on me. Don't tell Quraysh about me that I came here. They said, no, we will tell Quraysh about you as well, that you came here. So when you go back, Quraysh, if they were to hear that Prophet Muhammad, I'm sure they will, either arrest him or whatnot. So Prophet Muhammad, we need somebody to put him under his guardianship. And now on top of that, they started letting kids and the lowest of the people, in At-Ta'if, to start throwing rocks at Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam. And Zayd was trying to protect Rasulullah. And all this, for what? For what? For la ilaha illallah. I'm trying to save you from hellfire. I'm trying to guide you, to show you the path to Jannah. And you people are stoning me. If you don't want to believe, that's your choice. Why did you have to throw stones and rocks at Prophet Muhammad so much so that his feet were bleeding, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's bleeding, alayhi wa sallam. He reached this garden, that belonged to one of the chiefs of At-Ta'if. So they took some grapes, and then they sent their slave by the name of Addas. They sent their slave by the name of Addas. He says, go and take him these grapes. So the Prophet Muhammad, when he took the grapes, he said, Bismillah. Bismillah. And he ate one of the grapes. And Addas said, this Bismillah is not known for the people here. They don't say Bismillah. Who are you? Where did you come from? Prophet Muhammad asked him, what's your name? He says, Addas. Addas from where? He says, from Nainawa. Nainawa from Iraq. He says, Nainawa? Oh, Nainawa. Nainawa, the place of my brother Yunus. My brother Yunus, Yunus ibn Fatta. Allah, Yunus. The Prophet, Yunus alayhi salam. Yunus alayhi salam was from Nainawa. Nainawa from Iraq. So, Yunus ibn Matta. Yunus ibn Matta, he was from Iraq. So he says, do you know him? He says, yes, Yunus is a prophet. He's my brother, and I am a prophet. He is a prophet, and I'm a prophet. So Addas went down, started kissing the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He embraced Islam. He was following the religion of Yunus alayhi salam. And then Prophet Muhammad went back. Prophet Muhammad wanted At-Ta'if. My brothers, you know what that means? It means that At-Ta'if could have been Medina. That people, we go to Medina today, it could have been At-Ta'if. Had At-Ta'if accepted the Prophet Muhammad, had At-Ta'if accepted to host Prophet Muhammad, then the Muslims would have migrated to At-Ta'if. And At-Ta'if would have become the Medina. Prophet Muhammad wanted At-Ta'if. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted Medina. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You see, you want something, but Allah wants something else. You want something, but Allah wants something else. And there's always khair in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And on the way back, by a place called Qarn al-Tha'alib. قرن الثعالب, the horn of the ثعالب, of the الثعالب, I think they are called the wolves, I think, or fox, fox, not wolves, the fox, the horns of fox. It's an area where people today, they, when they, if they want to perform Umrah, they would pass by that place to perform, to make Ihram, قرن الثعالب. And then Jibril came down to the Prophet Muhammad. He came down and he says, Ya Muhammad, I have the angel of the mountains with me here. He saw, we saw what the people of Ta'if did to you. Ya Muhammad, if you want the angel of the head of the mountains, he will crush a Ta'if between the two mountains. Because the Ta'if, you know, like I said, it's in the mountainy mountain area. It's between two mountains. He says, the angel of the mountains, he will crush that town in between the two mountains. Prophet Muhammad said, no, no. Why no? Look what they have done to you. You're bleeding. They threw rocks at you. No, no. Why? Maybe, Asa, maybe Allah Azza wa Jal will come, you know, will bring out from their progeny people that will be muwahid, that will believe. And that's what happened. That's what happened. This is the rahmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, I don't want the angel to crush them. Why? Because hoping that off of their progeny will come out people that would believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then as Prophet Muhammad was walking, he reached the outskirts of Medina. He reached the outskirts of Medina. And then something amazing happened. Amazing that Prophet Muhammad didn't expect. His heart is broken, he is sad, and he is also scared going back to Mecca. Now people of Mecca, they know that I'm back, they're going to, you know, what are they gonna do to me and whatnot. So he was scared, he was, you know, sad, disappointed, heartbroken. But something nice will happen to comfort Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. What would happen in the outskirts of Medina, of Mecca, I'm sorry, Mecca, in the outskirts of Mecca, before entering Mecca, what happened? I smell it. I smell something right there. What is it? Something interesting. Something interesting happened, and I smell it too. I don't know if you guys smell it, but I do. What is it, you guys? What is it, you guys? This that I smell? What is it that I smell, my brothers and sisters out there? You smell it too, Yasmin? It is the cliffhanger. It is a cliffy hangy, yes. It's a cliffy. I will resume this story insha'Allah ta'ala tomorrow, and then proceed with that journey insha'Allah ta'ala, journey to the Isra and al-Mi'raj. But before the journey to Isra and Mi'raj, we will talk about something amazing that happened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the outskirts of Mecca. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us all. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless us all. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us patience and grant us tawfiq. May Allah alleviate hardships upon us. May Allah alleviate this pandemic upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us. May Allah azza wa jalla unite our homes and and bring in prosperity and serenity, peace, love, unity in our homes insha'Allah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success in this life and in the life of the hereafter. My brothers and sisters, there is no house in this world that is free of hardships. Everybody, even the biggest billionaires on earth, everybody, everybody has their own type of what? Of so, you know, hardships and problems and difficulties or whatnot, right? So if you're going through any, and I'm talking to myself as well, not only to you, because, you know, there are a lot of things happening, and so I'm talking to you as well. I'm talking to me here before you, that you know what, we have no other choice other than being patient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have no other choice. Yeah. What can you do other than accept the will of Allah, accept the decree of Allah, be pleased with it, and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be thankful, be grateful, right? The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam used to make this dua, you know, because we make dua only sometimes or oftentimes when we are going through difficulties, when I need a job, when I need to get married, when I need a husband, when I need a wife, when somebody is sick from my family, when I need a son or a daughter, you know, when I'm going through, maybe I have an interview, you know, whenever there is a need, that's when, you know, most people make their dua. But you should also make dua when you are at ease. When you are at ease, asking Allah to protect that which you have. Asking Allah to protect that which you have. The Prophet used to say, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the declining of your favors. Today you have a blessing, tomorrow you may not have it. Yesterday, everything seems so far away. Yesterday everything looks beautiful, everything looks clear, everything looked safe, everything looked clear. You could go anywhere you want, come back anytime you want, shake the hand of whomever you want, hug whomever you want. Today you can't." The Prophet used to say, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the declining of your favors." You see, just the fact to go out to a coffee shop with a friend, or to go out to a restaurant with your spouse or your kids, or to go out to a mall, or to go out shopping, or to go out to a swimming pool, or to go out just holding hands, walking, right? It's a ni'mah. It's a blessing that we did not value. It's a blessing which we did not value. I pick up a phone, you call a friend, "I'm coming to visit you." And you go and you visit them, you know, knock at the door, they open, you sit together. You can't do that no more now. You can't do that no more, subhanAllah. Little things that we do not value. Allah is teaching you these lessons about valuing these little things and praising Allah and thanking Him, because the more you thank Him, the more He gives you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you thank Allah, the more Allah gives you, subhanahu. So brothers and sisters, stay strong. Don't lose hope. Don't despair. Make dua for everyone. Make dua for me. I make dua for you. We're making dua for each other. Make dua for Allah Azza wa Jal to bless us with patience and perseverance, to change whatever hardship that we're going through into ease and prosperity, inshallah. Thank you so much for your attention, for being here. Thank you for joining. I hope to see you tomorrow, brothers and sisters, those on Facebook and those on Instagram. I really pray, hope to see you tomorrow, inshallah, to resume the series Walking with the Prophet, or Upon the Footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thank you so much. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair, sisters and brothers. Those of you on Instagram, thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow. Those of you on Facebook, Jazakumullah khair. See you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum.